that will add something to the Bible. So they'll say, you need the Book of Mormon, or you need this to go along with the Bible. And so it adds to, and it adds works, or it adds something to it. The Bible is very clear on what salvation is and what it requires, and that's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's our responsibility to base our entire system off of that. That is by grace through faith that we accept Jesus Christ, and that's how we get to heaven. Now, there are multiple differing opinions on all kinds of stuff. It doesn't matter what it is in life. It doesn't matter if it's biblical truth. It doesn't matter if it's best sports team. It doesn't matter if it's best brand of phone. It doesn't matter what it is. You will have people that have opinions on everything. What we always go back to is the truth of God's word. I don't care what your opinions are. What does God's word say? And so that's who we are. Here at Harmony, we will base everything off of God's word. We are an independent Baptist church because Baptist lines up, we believe, with what we believe the Bible to be true. And so some of the things, or the things that Baptists believe and that they've kind of said in their doctrine of faith, is something that we would line up with. So we believe that because we base it off the Bible. If the Baptist denomination, and we're not part of that, we're independent, which means we're free from that. But if we were part of that and they started going and saying, you need to work for your salvation, we would pull out in a heartbeat because we believe the Bible to be true, and that's what we base everything off of. So that's the difference between us. And I'm not going to go into everybody because I'm not going to bash churches around in the area, but we believe that the Bible is our sole authority, sola scriptura, that it is everything we believe and it's everything that we base everything on. All right, I got some messages. Let's see. All right, first off, let's see. Okay, somebody asked me, why is it, now this is a medical question, so I don't know that I'm gonna be able to answer it like completely, but why is it, I'm assuming, and this person can correct me if I'm mistaken on this, it says, why is it that people pass out for no reason? But I don't know if that's meant to be pass away, as in die, so I'm not sure which one it is. I'm gonna deal with both, just in case, all right? As far as people passing out for no reason, there is a reason behind it. And most of that is going to be because of malnutrition, not hydrated, some of those things that are medical. There could be because there's an imbalance. And when I was in Virginia, I could not get up out of bed without passing out. And the reason was because of my equilibrium was off. Like I had a clog up there from a cold that I had. And so I couldn't get up without just passing right back out. Weirdest thing in the world. But it was all because of a medical issue. It was something that was wrong. It was something that was not right. And that's why I kept passing out. As far as why do people pass away for no reason, that's a completely different topic, obviously. And I would say this, there is a reason why people pass away. There's not... if we believe God is sovereign, which points back to the fact that we believe the Bible to be true, which teaches that God is sovereign, then there is not something that happens without God allowing it to happen. Now, that challenges our thinking about God sometimes because then we think, well, that means God allows bad things to happen at times. Yes, that is true. Death is not something that we view as a good thing. However, for the believer, it ain't bad because as soon as I pass away, I'm going to heaven. So, I mean, I like to think that my loved ones, I like to think that the baby that Brittany and I lost, I like to think that that baby is in heaven just going, I really miss my mommy and daddy and I want my mommy and daddy and all that stuff. Jamie, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing well. Did you bring us somebody?
Well, this is Claire.
Claire. But you want in order to see the better class? Just kidding. Yeah. Yeah, we're here, Claire, and anytime you want to upgrade, we're always available. But, so, Claire, I can't see you in the dark, Claire. These lights are right, okay, all right. Okay, no, seriously, I couldn't see who it was. I just saw two people. I know Jamie because I know her voice, but I could not tell who it is. You come stand up here and tell me if you can identify somebody back there. But anyways, so as far as the why do people pass away for no reason question, there is a reason behind it. There is cause, and there is a sovereign God who's allowing things to happen. Now, I would say this, our finite thinking, in other words, our thinking that's limited to our knowledge, sometimes will say something in our mind that says God doesn't understand what he's doing But God does, because he sees the end product, not just in the midst of it. When we're hurting, for instance, when you break up with somebody, in the moment, you're not thinking, this is the greatest thing ever. In the moment, now some of you will say, oh, yes, I did, but you didn't. So you're sitting there thinking, in the minute, this is not the greatest thing ever. But later on down the road, you look back and go, oh, God, thank you for breaking that thing up. I would not want to be with that person now. So that aspect is kind of the same thing. We don't understand right now why we're going through things, but God allows certain things to happen for his sovereign will. And I can tell you this, if I die in an accidental way, in other words, it's not when I'm old and gray and I pass away peacefully. If I die in an accidental way or in some crazy way, if one person comes to Christ because of my death, it would be well worth it to me. Because at that point, first off, I'm going to be in heaven. As much as I love my wife and kids, I'm going to be worshiping at the feet of Jesus. I'm not much concerned about what's going on back here. I'll be looking at Jesus and saying, thank you that I'm here and not there. So I would say it's very easy for us in our emotionalism to say, oh, but why did this happen to this person? They were a good person. Well, they may have been good, but at the same time, God is sovereign, and God knows why all things happen, and God allows those things to happen. Why does God let us go through tragic things was another question. Again, this kind of points back to the fact that God is sovereign, and there are tragic things that happen in our life, but it's not that James talks about this. It's not that God causes us to sin or God's looking and going, I'm going to cast these tragic things at this person. God allows these things to happen for a couple reasons. Number one is it points us to him and it points others to him. There has never been a time when I've gone through something tragic where my first thought wasn't, God, what's going on? My first stop is always to look at God. And for a lot of people that are unsaved, their first stop is to look at God. They don't believe in God until something bad happens. And then they go, God, why? Perfect example. Probably most of you weren't alive. But 9/11, when 9/11 happened, we had on the White House steps, in D.C., all over the place, and I lived in D.C., you had people everywhere meeting to pray, publicly praying. People were just gathering in droves to pray. Now, where is that today? In fact, you'd be carted off of the steps if you were in that point. So all of, not White House steps, why did I say White House? Gosh darn it. Yes, in D.C. I don't know why. I can't think of any places. The Capitol, thank you. My gosh, I don't know why I could not think of that. The Capitol steps, everybody was praying at. Now you'd be carted away because it would be like, you know, public, where you'd be causing a disruption. So all of that happened because people turned to God because something tragic had happened. So sometimes God allows tragic things because it brings us back to him, or it points us to look at him. Sometimes God allows tragic things because we've gone off the deep end and God needs to bring us back. Because as much as I love being a father, one of the things I hate about being a father is discipline. I really do. I don't love disciplining my child. Now, I will tell you this, when your parents tell you this will hurt me more than it hurts you, that's a lie. And it never hurt me as much as it hurts him. But like, I do not look forward to punishing my children. I don't look forward to it. It needs to happen, but I don't look forward to it. The same way that there are some times when we as Christians tend to kind of walk away and we get to the 5, 6, 7-year-old child of God and we're going, I know more than you. Thank you. My son right now is in this whole like he knows more than his parents do, and we have to correct that. Like it's just something that we have to correct. So in the midst of that, I look and say, I do that to God all the time. So I look at God and say, well, why would you allow this to happen? I know what's best for me, and I don't. So God sometimes allows things to happen to bring us back, to correct us. And that's not God up there going, oh, I love this lightning, you know, or anything like that. God is being a father saying, oh, why are you doing this? I've got to correct it. And so sometimes tragic things happen for those reasons. But for the most part, tragic things happen because of sin, and God allows those things to happen for certain reasons, but it's not like God is causing it to do it. How do we strengthen our relationship with God after not having focused on it for a while? I think one of the key things is to start on the basic. We talked about this Wednesday. Start on the basics of salvation. So start where you know. Now, I know a lot of us are like, oh, I want to move past salvation because I already know everything about salvation. Like, Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and I'm saved, okay? So I know everything, okay? You may think you know everything, but salvation is not just the belief in Jesus for the hope of heaven. Salvation is the foundation on which we are built. It is everything to us. So if you start feeling yourself drift away for a bit, man, go back and say, this is what this is based on. When my wife and I, now my wife and I are perfect and never have any arguments, but when my wife and I, what, she been talking to you guys? No, when my wife and I have an argument, you know what I go back to? I go back to the day I stood in front of her and said, for better or for worse, till death do us part, I do, baby. And I go back to it. You know why? Because it's foundational for who we are. It is the foundation upon which we are built. If we don't keep to that, we don't keep to anything. So I look back at that and say, that's what I'm going to act off of, even in the midst of if I feel like it or not, I'm going to act off of what I know is the basis. So salvation brings us back to say, hey, you know what? I feel like I want to walk away, but how do I walk away from the one who gave his life for me? And so we start in salvation, and when we start in salvation, it kind of breeds in us this appreciation for what God has done, and it drives us to spend more time with him. No one that I know of wakes up in the morning and is like, Bible reading time! You know, like just pops out of bed and looks forward to it. Or before they go to sleep, and I can't wait to get back into their house so that they can read their Bible. I come to work every morning. Sometimes on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I read at the gym. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I read my Bible here for a little bit more extended of a time. As I read my Bible, you know what? I never walk into work like skipping like Bible reading time. I go into work and I'm like, coffee. Where's coffee? That's how I come in. I don't come in looking forward to it. But you know what? Me thinking about my salvation drives me like I need to spend time with the one who gave his life for me. And by the time I'm done with it, God has spoken to me, he's encouraged me, he's challenged me, he's convicted me, all because I focused on the basis. So stay on your basics and focus on salvation, just like Renew You in Salvation 101. You want to focus on that. All right, one more. Do you think that there are demons that are walking on this earth? I would say yes, because of, if you're talking about like in human form, like, you know, a boyfriend or girlfriend that was mean to you being a demon, no. But as far as are there demons, yes, because the Bible talks about how there's spiritual warfare that are going around, and if only we had the spiritual eyes to see, we would be shocked at how much is going on around us. So yes, I do believe that there are demons, and I believe that they cause things to happen that would direct us away from the Lord. So yes, I do believe that demons are walking the earth, and I believe that's biblically based. All right, so tonight we are going to talk about some goals for 412 in 2018. You guys are so excited about this, I can tell. All right, we're going to be simple. And honestly, I promise you, we'll be done in 15 minutes. No joke, we'll be done in 15 minutes. Times two. So, times two, I know it's math, but 15 times two. 30? I'm just kidding, 15 or 30. So, one of the things, or 30. What about we compromise and do 30? Fine. We'll do 30. So one of the things that I am super passionate about is our house values. You guys know this. We do it every August for 412 Awareness Month, where we talk about our house values. So one of the things that I am looking forward to this year is I want our youth group to know our house values. And I don't mean it just in the sense of like, friends become family, Jesus is better, we are note takers, we love deeply, we speak highly, friends become, I don't want us just wrote blah, 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 blah. I want us to know things. That's why on the bottom of your notes for Wednesday nights, I put hashtag Jesus is better, or hashtag friends become family. Take a picture of it and put it on social media and hashtag it, I don't care. But do something that helps you learn what our house values are. Because our house values are who we are as a youth group. And the house values are there to back up who we are as Harmony. Harmony's mission statement, the whole reason that Harmony exists, is to grow passionate followers of Jesus Christ that love God and love people. That's the reason that we exist as a church. And so as a youth group, we have to fit under the umbrella of that and say, what's our part in this? Well, our part in this is to say this. Number one, Jesus is better. And I don't care who you are, what you do, or anything. You can ask Mr. Nate. When Mr. Nate has missed because of soccer or because of teaching, have I not like sent to you or given you a hard time and said Jesus is better? Just be honest. I'm not. I always give him a hard time. Okay. Here's. Yes. Here's the thing. I don't care who you are. I really don't. I truly believe that Jesus is better than anything you stack up against him. Now I know. Before you're like, what about vacation with my family? Okay. If you're gone, or if any of those things are happening, if you're sick, please don't bring it here. But I will always be about the fact that Jesus is better. Why? Because if Jesus is truly better to us as a youth group, then we will be passionate followers of Jesus Christ. Now, again, I am not saying to you, and please don't walk out and be like, Mom and Dad, Pastor AJ hates me because I missed a service. I'm not saying that. And those of you who have missed services know I don't text you and be like, where were you at, little brat, or anything like that. I text you and say, I missed you, because I do. I look around every time and see people that are not here and say, man, I miss you, because I do, okay? But Jesus is better than anything you stack up against him. Here's the thing. A lot of people will say, oh, I've got homework to do. And so they'll do homework and then pray the next day on their test that God helps them. Let's be honest. If you skip time with God, do you really think he's going to be like, oh, sure, I'll bless you tomorrow? I truly believe that Jesus is better than anything you stack up against him. And I want it to be, I literally want that to be the driving force behind our, now, I say that, and I'm erring on the side of being a little bit heavy on Jesus is better than anything. What I don't want is to have a hypocritical youth group where we have people going, well, I'm here every week and you're not, so I'm better than you. Okay, I don't want that. I don't. I want people who say, you know what, I see that this person's not missing or not here, they're missing, and so I'm going to text them and find out where they were tonight. And they say, oh, I just had homework. Be like, you know what? Man, you should have come. It was only like an hour, hour and a half worth of a night. You should have come. It was a great time. We had a good time. And Jesus is better than anything you stack up against. That's what I want. I want people reaching out and looking for people and saying, man, Jesus is better than anything, rather than being hypocritical, being like, I'm better than you because I was here. I don't want that. I want our youth group to be about the fact that Jesus is better. I want it to be engraved in us. I want it to be our lifeblood. But there are other things that we have house values for. Okay. We have a house value. In fact, I bragged on somebody this morning. I'm not going to run them through again to make them embarrassed. But someone this morning saw someone sitting alone and took it upon themselves to move to sit with that person because our house value is no one sits alone. Okay, those are things that I want, man. I don't want to have to look around and say, hey, somebody's sitting by themselves. Can someone go over there and sit? I was thrilled this morning when it just occurred to this person, someone's sitting alone. And we don't sit alone here at 412. No one sits alone here. And so they sat with him. These are goals. It's not the fact that you know it. We love deeply. Jesus is better. It's the fact that when you see it not happening, you do it. Or you step into it and say, I need to fill this role. I am never comfortable ever texting somebody after they missed a service. You know why? Because I'm scared they won't come back. Because if I text them and say, hey, I missed you tonight, they're like, oh, checking up on me, are you? Well, I'm never coming back, buddy, and then never coming back. Scares me to death, not because I think they need to be here and I've got to be able to count them, but because I don't want somebody to just skip out on church because of something I said to them. So I am interested in people being here because I want us to grow and become passionate followers of Jesus Christ, not because I want a number. I don't care about the number. I want people that say we want to follow Jesus passionately. Because some of you are very passionate, and me too. Some of us are very passionate about things that don't really matter, right? Like in the grand scheme of things. I'll use sports because that was me. This is not against you sports people in the room, but this was me in high school. I was super passionate about sports. Super passionate about sports. Super passionate about sports. Like, sports ran my life. Now, I would look and say, oh, I had friends and all that other stuff. But sports was my dominant thinking. You know the best thing that dominant thinking got out of everything was a scholarship offer. The best thing that came out of years of giving up spiritual things for sports things was a scholarship. It ain't worth it. It's not. And now people are like, you want to play some basketball? And I'm like, let me get my nebulizer, and then maybe I can breathe a little bit better after we play for a little bit, okay? Sports ain't doing nothing for me now. It's not. I love sports, and I'll still play them. But don't allow yourself to get sucked into anything else is better than Jesus. And what I want is that when we get here on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night and God's word is open, whether it's me or somebody else speaking, that our hearts are open to say, Jesus is better, so what does God want to do in me today? Because here's what we have. We have a lot of teenagers, and I can tell by social media, we have a lot of teenagers who come and they sit and they listen and they stare and they smile and they have a good time and then they go home and nothing changes at all. In fact, I have seen on social media, now, I don't think it was any of you, but I've seen social media where people have been here and raised their hands that they need to do something, whatever the message was about, and the moment they left, curse on social media about how they blanking hate everything. Something is missing if we can come sit in here and 10 minutes later be acting like we were before we came in. Now, it may be me. It may follow me. Maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But my goal as a youth pastor and for a youth group is that at the end of 2018, we look back and say, our youth group, I don't care about numerically. I hope we do grow numerically. You know why? Because we are people bringers. So I hope we grow numerically. But I look back on 2018, hopefully, as we move into 2019, and look back and say, you know what? There were teens in our youth group who became passionate, not just followers of Christ, but passionate followers of Christ. You cannot stop them. They would storm hell with a water pistol if you allowed them to. They are so passionate about following Christ that no one can stop them. That's what I want. That's what my goal is, that as I look back at 2018 on me, that I will look back and say, you know what? I lived 2018 with passionate following of Jesus Christ. And it didn't matter what I thought that person would think of me for talking to them. Because you know what one of the hardest things about being a pastor is? When you know somebody is doing something wrong and God lays it on your heart to biblically correct them. Nothing is worse. Nothing. Because I answered the call to be this. I know, and you're like, ah, that's your job. But when God looks at you and says, hey, there's someone living in sin and here's some scripture to encourage them with, that ain't fun, like, at all. Especially with, y'all know yourselves, I'm not making fun of you, but with moody teenagers, it's a lot worse. Because they love you one minute, they hate you the next. So when you're like, hey, there's this issue, I hate you! Yeah, well, great, that was fun, you know? So it's never fun. I've never loved doing it. But I want to look back at 2018 and say, you know what? It didn't matter what God asked me to do. I passionately followed him. Now, I say that, and I prayed about this beforehand to remember to say this. I will never, ever text you about something going in your life that looks off biblically without first looking at myself. I will never, ever text you and say, hey, it looks like you're struggling with this without looking at myself first and saying, God, would you point an area to me that I can fix? And in fact, those of you who've received texts from me know that I normally say, hey, I've been struggling with this lately, and God's been showing me these verses on it, but I can see you're struggling with this. Here's some verses, and I'm here to help you if you need it. Because I have no interest in saying I'm better than you, because I'm not. So I have no interest in that. What my interest is that our youth group would passionately follow Jesus Christ. So practical ways that that's going to work, and then we'll be done. Told you, 5 more minutes we still have. Practical ways. I want our youth group to be involved in the church. Everyone contributes here. Everyone contributes. That's not just down here. That's not just down here where you pick up your trash or you pick up the 40,000 pieces of popcorn that somehow miss your mouth, or that's not where you, if you spill, you clean up, or any of those things. Yes, that should happen down here, but where are you involved in the rest of the church? Now, some of you get involved in Kids Connection, great. Some of you do some other things, great. We had an Everyone Contributes Night in August where we had 8 different ministry leaders come down here and talk about ministries. We had choir, we had cleaning, we had kids, we had greeting and ushers. We had, I think, sound, Dave talked about a little bit. We had kitchen with Kathy Jackson. We had all of these things. You had snow removal. We had all of those things that were options available to you to contribute in. Everyone contributes here. I want our youth group to be contributing to Harmony. We are not a church in and of ourselves. We are part of Harmony. And we will always be here to contribute with Harmony. Here's what I want, is to not be begging people for things like Heritage Fest, for things like Ghosts and Goblins parking, for things like a date night that hopefully we'll do in February again where we have all the kids so that parents can go out for free and enjoy dinner. Things like that, I don't want to be begging people. You know why? I want a youth group at the end of 2018, hopefully the beginning of 2018, who says, I want to serve because everyone contributes here. Everyone contributes. So that's a practical way. I want people to be involved and in serving and in doing things. And I know some of you just come to youth group. You don't come to church here on Sunday mornings, and that's your parents' decision. That's up to them. But if you're here on Sunday mornings, man, I want you involved. If you're here Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, this is part. Youth group is not your church. Harmony is, and we are a part of Harmony. And so we serve Harmony. We help in Harmony. So everyone contributes here. A goal practically is that we have more participation in serving the church. Let me tell you an easy one. The greeting team. Super simple. You know, I stand outside when it's warmer. I stand outside on the sidewalk and I greet people coming in. You know, I've not had, now I'm one of the pastors of the church, which doesn't mean anything, but I'm on staff here at the church, and I've not had a single person stop me for longer than a minute to talk. And that was somebody I knew well. You know what that means? You can stand out of the door and say, "Hi, welcome to Harmony," in 10 seconds and be done, okay? And maybe there's a cute boy or girl that walks in, and you have the opportunity to say, "You know, we have a youth ministry here. Would you like to come? I'll save you a seat and your number." You know, you could, you have the opportunity to have that type of impact, right? You have that type of ability. We have teenagers that are sitting up in the service, and each one that I know of, I have invited to come down here. Do you know it means a lot more for our youth group to look at somebody and say, "Would you come with me?" Because you're a teenager. And they automatically feel a connection to another teenager. A youth pastor looking at them is like, "Okay, it's your job to tell me to come downstairs." But for a teenager to say, "Hey, Jackson, would you come downstairs? Would you enjoy a service with us? If somebody else is visiting, would you come downstairs and have a good time with us?" People at your school, there he is. There he is.
No,
stop it. She told me you would not be here, and I was like, "I don't believe you. I don't believe you whatsoever." Remember, it's 6 o'clock on Sunday nights, but I'm glad you're here. What? No one sits alone. Thank you. No, it's 7 on Wednesdays. It's 6 on Sundays. But I am super glad you're here. So hang out with us. Almost 7. So quickly. Some practical goals. I want everyone to contribute. I want everyone to be people bringers. Now, I know this is a very hard balance because it makes it seem like I'm all about numbers and I want more and more people here. I want us to be about bringing people. There, if you've hung out with me outside of the church, if I see teenagers, I will automatically invite them to youth group. Now, I don't walk up like in the middle of a theater and, you know, as the movie's going, be like, "Psst, hey you," or anything like that. But if I see teenagers out, I will invite them to youth group. It is something completely different. You know the reason I do that? I've been in youth ministry for 10 years. I've only had one teenager who has ever come because I've invited them. Yes. But you know, I have had teenagers who have come, and the only reason she came is because she knew Brady. And so whenever I said, "Would you come?" she goes, "That's the church that Brady goes to. Yeah, I'll come." Because there was a connection with a teenager, not with me. So the reason that I invite teenagers is because I invite teenagers out is because when you look at them at school and say, "Hey, would you come to Harmony?" they're like, "Dude, I met the youth pastor the other day at McDonald's. He invited me to come to church." And because I know you go there now, there's a connection, and they'll come. Invite your friends, not because of numbers, but because I want a youth group that is about bringing people. I want a youth group that goes beyond bickering and gossiping and talking behind each other's back and having cliques and all those different things because we love deeply here. That is more so than just in word, it's in deed. We speak highly here. That means we don't talk badly about each other behind each other's back or on Snapchat or any of those things, or we subtweet or subpost about somebody in the youth group. We don't do that here. That's a practical thing because we speak highly. I want when somebody walks in, because we're people bringers, you're going to have people visit. When somebody walks in the back door and they're new here, I do not want them to feel like they are the oddest person on the planet. You all know each other, okay? And if they come with somebody, they automatically have a connection with that person. But if someone walks in the back door because their parents forced them to come downstairs as they visited the church or something, when they come in, you all know each other, at least a little bit. And so when they come in, it comes into a weird dynamic because you guys know each other and they have no idea who any of you are. Please go out of your way and welcome people. It does not take anything out of your schedule to say, "Hey, I'm AJ, what's your name? Oh, Tim, thanks for coming, Tim, and hanging out with us. Hey, if you don't have anybody else to sit with, you can sit with me." Because no one sits alone. We have house values here, man, and I'm all about this year. Our goal is to look back at 2018 and see our house values become, whatever you feel about tattoos, to be tattooed on our hearts. Now, before you go out and be like, Pastor AJ told us to get a tattoo, Mom and Dad, I'm not saying that, okay, so don't go tell them that. I'm saying that at the end of 2018, as we move into 2019, I want to look back at this year and see practically we accomplished something that was very much more embedded in us, and that was our house values, all for the reason of becoming passionate followers of Jesus Christ. That is what I want. I don't want anything else. I want our youth group to have fun. I want us to have a good time. I want us to do all these different things. But I am interested in our youth group passionately following Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for who you are. Lord, tonight as I stand here and we've talked about this, Lord, you know that I have, that over break when we didn't have youth group, I have poured my heart out to you. Lord, I truly, Lord, if I am a hindrance to you doing what you want to do in 412, would you do what's best for 412? Lord, would you work in this youth group in such a way that at the end of 2018, as we all look back and look at what you've done in our youth group over this last year, Lord, I am in no way in control of this thing. Lord, this is your youth group. This is your church. And so we want to look back at it and say that 412 accomplished its mission, and that was growing passionate followers of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're better than anything we could put up against you. So Lord, tonight, would we have teenagers who would make a commitment in their own heart that they would know our house values, that they would make resolutions and commitments based off of that they would be involved because everyone contributes. Lord, that they would be loving because we love deeply, that they would speak without gossip or without malintent of their words, not just in our youth group, but in the schools. Because just because we're not in youth group doesn't mean we don't speak highly. We speak highly because we are a passionate follower of you. Lord, would you allow this place to be a place where friends become family because we're people bringers here? Lord, would you allow it to be a place that would grow passionate followers of you? It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.